fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is 8:05. 5 after 8, 7:05 in the Pacific time zone. All of you listening in Oregon or California or someplace in between. Now, we have a new legislature coming in. And, you know, all morning long, and you listen to Fox News, and what's the big story? The new Congress, Jeb Bush, the coup on Boehner, even Fox News saying the coup's not going to happen. Why not? I was listening to our friend Sean Hannity, and I encourage you to listen to him. He's a great guy. Wonderful to have known Sean since 97, I guess. And he was talking about John Boehner, and I believe last night on the Fox News channel, he was advocating that people overthrow Boehner. Didn't really go that far on the radio. I mean, he's had Representative Gohmert on a few times. Gohmert's going to challenge Boehner. And God bless these people that are challenging John Boehner. And you know this at work and life. If you don't get the king's going to get you. But there, you know, there's anger. And one of the great things that Ronald Reagan did is that he put a happy face. He was a happy warrior. And I'm of the Buchanan school, so I'm not Mr. Happy. Mrs. Miller will tell you that when it comes to a lot of things. But, you know, there has to be a way of, I guess, repackaging the message. And it would be nice. Look, it'd be great if somebody would overthrow Boehner. But I don't think it's going to happen. So where do you, you know, people, and you know this, they always say, well, Kevin Miller, you're always talking about keeping your powder dry. Well, you keep your powder dry. It comes back to the frontier. You'd always make sure that your gunpowder was dry. So when you needed it, you could use it, right? I think that's the case when it comes to the conservative movement. We've taken a look at the health exchange. Hopefully John Roberts will, in fact, come to his senses and overturn the Obamacare, because we're about all the exemptions, all the waivers are done, and we're going to be done. I mean, fiscally, how can we afford the Obamacare, Medicaid, Medicare expansion of the government? One-sixth of the economy, my friends. One-sixth of the entire economy. Boom, gone. And has your medical conditions improved? Are you happy with your health care? Those of you that have worked hard, have done the right things, and have gotten booted, we've basically gotten rid of the, how should we play this, the godless privatized HMOs that don't give a rip about you to the government entity HMOs that don't give a rip about you. And even if you pay your premiums on time, even if you pay your bills, you can still get the boot. So what do? Well, you have to realize who has the high ground right now, and that's the president. That's everybody else. And in the Republican Party circles, that's John Boehner. So to attack him, does that send a message? I think it's falling on deaf ears. Is it third-party time? If people won't listen to you, is it better than the Democrats? These are questions that need to be asked. And here in Idaho, the same way. I mean, we have I suppose the big issue is how conservative are we? When we have Common Core in the schools, when we elected a Republican as a state school superintendent who's pro Common Core. And Glenn Beck talks about it. We have Stacey Knutson, Stephanie Zimmerman that do marvelous work. You know, Senator Thane on Common Core, but where are we? I mean, how conservative are we? We look to the South and to our great friends in Utah for the very latest. You know, let's ask State Representative Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, the man of the hour, just how conservative he thinks Idaho is. Good morning, sir.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do. Thanks, Kevin. There's a lot of work to do all over the nation, but, you know, it all comes back to getting back to our fundamental principles. We inherited a recipe of government unlike anything that's ever happened in the history of the world. And it was that recipe of government that brought us to peace and to prosperity. And so we need to simply get back to that. And so, you know, obviously what we're looking at is one of the only solutions big enough for as we move toward 2016 is to unleash liberty and property and self-governance. Kevin, just like Canada is doing right now with its provinces and territories, are you familiar that Canada is turning land, water, and resources over to the provinces and territories right now, and yet in the United States of America, we have an interior secretary and we have even members of our own Congress that say, no, we can't do that. We have to have the federal government control 62% of our land just because. So huge opportunity to get back to prosperity, to get back to access to our lands, to stop the environmental degradation that you're also familiar with the ravaging catastrophic wildfires. And so what an amazing opportunity, an amazing time to stand for real, true, soft principles.
I'm with you, Ken, and I'm thinking about this. And before we get to a lot of other things, you know, I was watching this special Aerial America, and they were doing a thing on Montana, and I'm sure you're familiar with just all the ravaging that's been going on up there for years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about it. There was one of your commissioners in Idaho, I can't remember his name now, I think he was a Lemhi County commissioner, and he said, you know, if you think about the forest, if you had a pen, you know, a pen that you put cows in, and the pen would hold 50 cows, and you had water for 50 cows, and you had food for 50 cows. But you get the bright idea of saying, you know what, let's put 1,000 cows in there and just walk away. And, you know, what could go wrong with that? I mean, we know, right? We know they're going to get sick, they're going to die. Well, that's what we're doing in our forests. We've got these federal policies unfortunately, the poor federal workers on the ground that want to do a good job, they're shut down by litigation from these environmental, so-called environmental groups that get taxpayer dollars pursuing and shutting down the active, healthy management of our forest. And so instead of having 50 or 60 or 100 trees to an acre, which is a healthy carrying capacity for our forest, we have 600, 800, 1,000 trees to an acre. And naturally, just like the cows in the pen, they're getting sick and they're dying all over the West. And so instead of seeing healthy wildfire, which is ground, you know, the ground fire that is healthy, we have these catastrophic fires that burn the very crowns of the trees, kill millions of animals, decimate the watershed, destroy the fish, pollute the air, and destroy the habitat for generations. And so, you know, we can do better, Kevin. We can do much better. And so what we really need to do is we need to have courage, we need to stand on principle, and we need to help our federal government do those things that only it can do and do them well. Let's help our federal government focus on world peace. There's a lot of work to be done there. Let's help our federal government focus on a sound monetary system. There's a lot of work to be done there. And then the local planning and zoning and land use, we can take that from here, just like all the states east of Colorado are doing.
I'm with you, but as an elected official, as someone who's in the know here at 580 KIDO, Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, have we jilted too far to the left nationally that we've become a nation of entitlements instead of achievement?
Well, that's a really fascinating question. You know, I was thinking about that this morning actually, and when you go back to the early 1900s, when the Western states made a big push. In the 1920s and 30s, the Western states made a big push and actually had congressional hearings that were entitled Granting Remaining Unreserved Public Lands to the States. They pushed and said, hey, wait a minute, you're nothing more than a trustee. You have to grant these lands to the states. And Congress was right at the point of a bill to grant the lands to the states. You know, all these people that say this is unconstitutional, it's nonsense. Congress grants land to the states, and they grant land to different people all the time. It's simply that we haven't had the fortitude to push the issue. So the states were right at the point of having Congress grant the lands directly to the states, and the agency stepped in and said, okay, we'll give you the land. We know we've got to give you the land. We know it's a trust responsibility. We'll give you all the surface land. We're just going to keep all the minerals in federal control. And the West, I mean, imagine, right? The federal offer you can't refuse. The Western states all banded together and said, like heck you will. You've got to keep the whole promise. You've got to transfer the surface and the subsurface. If you give us only the surface and take and keep everything that's worth anything at, that's worth anything at all, our governor at the time, George Dern, a Democrat, said, you'll leave us with nothing but the skin of a squeezed lemon. And so the state killed that deal, saying you got to keep the whole promise. Well, then we went into the Great Depression. Then we went into World War II. And by the time the states recovered to figure out what they could do to start joining together again as a union, as a team of states, well, we were 20 years down the road. And then people just start to think, well, this is the way it is. The federal government just controls the land. That's not the way it is in America, based on liberty and property and self-governance.
Well, and Ken Ivory, as you've pointed out several times here at 580 KIDO, we have the East Coast bias, where most states in the East have most of their lands, in the West, not so much.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, though? Illinois was 96.25% federally controlled for decades. And the arguments that Illinois made, Illinois said, hey, wait a minute. We can't manage the growth and prosperity of our own state. We can't control our own revenue. You're violating the very compact of statehood. And they made that argument continuously, persistently. They rallied other states. Illinois already did this, along with Florida and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana. And so what's fascinating now, Kevin, that we have a representative in New Hampshire that is now introducing a resolution to support the transfer of public lands. South Carolina has already passed a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. Representative Alan Clemens in South Carolina said, we are tired of paying for the federal government to mismanage Western lands. It's time to turn those lands over and let the people in Western communities use their own lands and resources responsibly to care for their own kids and communities. So it's just a matter of persistence. We've got to get people on board. This is a big effort. It takes a big change. But think of what we leave to our children if we do, and think of what we leave to our children if we don't.
More coming up with our great friend Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. A little foggy out. Let's get you to work safely.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. But don't fence me in.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
823, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council. Let's talk a little bit about Utah and what's been going on there concerning your breakthroughs and getting your lands back, Ken.
Well, so I passed my bill in 2012, the Transfer Public Lands Act, and we've got a number of good representatives in Idaho that are working on studies and following on some of the things that we've done. What came out in December, we had many people there. The argument of some of the naysayers that we can't govern ourselves and manage our own lands is we can't afford to manage these lands. Well, what they forget is land is a resource. Land is an asset. Land is the very reason that rugged pioneer types came out to Idaho and Utah and the West in the first place. But nevertheless, we did a $500,000 study, a team of economists from our three top universities, and they concluded, not surprisingly, that yes, of course, we can afford to manage our own lands. So now we move forward with that. Then in my bill, we set a deadline of December 31st, 2014, for the federal government to begin working with us on an orderly transfer of the public lands, just like Canada is doing right now in good faith with its territories and provinces. Unfortunately, our federal partner has decided that they don't even want to discuss the matter with us, and they make, unfortunately, a number of condescending comments. And so now we continue to move forward. So they've clearly let that time and that opportunity that we set pass. So now it's up to the state, and we're going to move forward. We've got four basic paths forward. One, we continue to educate. It's critical that we all educate our friends and our neighbors. The statehood promises are the same. It's already been done before. It's the only solution big enough. The second step is negotiation, just like is happening up in Benoit County, Idaho. Your Benoit County commissioners and natural resource people, they're bringing the Forest Service people in and having the the courage to stand up for their jurisdiction and question them and say, why doesn't your Forest Service plan contemplate the health, safety, and welfare of our community? That kind of negotiation needs to continue forward, and what they're doing up in Benawah County is phenomenal. The third step is legislation. We need to continue at the local, state, and national level. Legislation, Congress can at any time choose to do the right thing and transfer the lands, just like it did to Hawaii, just like it did to Michigan, just like it did to all states east of Colorado, just like Canada is doing. There are members of Congress that are preparing legislation as we speak. The fourth and final step is litigation. We appropriated $2 million in Utah last year to begin building the litigation case. We're hopeful that Idaho and Wyoming and others will join us, that as a group of states, just like Illinois and Missouri and Arkansas did, where they joined together, refused to take no for an answer. We push this matter forward, and if need be, we go to the Supreme Court, and we ask the very simple question, where is the authority for the federal government to treat our states, our communities, and our children unequally, to discriminate against our communities when we have the very same statehood promises? And so we're moving forward on that. A lot more information at AmericanLandsCouncil.org. There's a petition there, Kevin. We want to get people to get on and sign that petition, to start getting on the team. We need to start mobilizing the masses so that people in Congress know we're not going to take no for an answer. This is not going away. This is the biggest issue out there because it solves so many of the problems. So get on AmericanLandsCouncil.org. You can click and sign the petition, share that with your friends, all kinds of information, share that with them as well.
Ken Ivory with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Well, Ken, let's say we break away from the feds, and like in Idaho, they contribute, 37% of our budget to the general fund. You know how the feds are. They're like drug dealers. They're gonna keep us addicted to the money.
Yeah, it's a big problem, but that's a problem that's going to solve itself. What we know is the federal funds coming to the states are already going away. So what's happening in many instances is they set up programs and they say, okay, state, you be the face of this program and you put up a dollar and we'll give you a dollar or we'll give you $2 or $3, but you're the face of the program. What's happening more and more is the federal money is pulling away as they have to start cutting expenses because they simply can't borrow anymore. They can't print anymore. The world is chopping up the U.S. dollar credit card as we speak. And so that money is going away, and the state's being left with all these programs that they were set up on, and the federal money's going away. That's happening as we speak. And so we have to figure out how to get to economic self-reliance. It was really fascinating, Kevin. Somebody sent me an article that in 1980, Idaho had the most millionaires per capita in the United States of America because they had the timber industry was thriving, the silver industry was thriving, the agricultural industries were thriving, the resource industries were thriving. And now Idaho is struggling and suffering, as are most of the communities throughout the West, because we simply don't have access to our resources, to our lands, to managing them so that we could get to better access, better health, and better productivity. Instead, under federal management now, unfortunately, we're losing access. The health is diminishing and the productivity is depressed.
Ken Ivory with us, American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Now, you've worked with Speaker Bedke. You know folks here that are in our legislature. How pro-land friendly is the new Idaho legislature?
Well, I don't know all of your new folks. Speaker Bedke's been great. In fact, when we had the meeting last spring, Speaker Bedke and Speaker Lockhart were leading the gathering of Western lawmakers that we had in Salt Lake in April. There are a lot of concerns. I mean, as a speaker, you deal with a whole bunch of different things. We need to reengage and make sure we've got our game plan moving. But Speaker Bedke's been very encouraged, very encouraging, and has been a leader on this. We really need to develop the game plan where we've got the states working as an interstate compact to drive the litigation, to drive the legislation, and simply start taking this to the next level. But he's been a leader on this so far.
Is there one executive that really goes above and beyond in your mind?
You know, that's probably the weak link right now. The governors have really not taken much of a leading role. When you think of the opportunity with the Western Governors Association, my governor was the chairman of the Western Governors Association. I saw an email a couple of weeks ago on their top 10 issues and accomplishments for 2014, and this wasn't even in the list of the top 10. And, you know, governors are an interesting breed. They need to feel the support. They need to feel the encouragement. They need to feel the pressure from the people, because a governor is a team of one. A legislature, I've got 104 members in the House and Senate in Utah. We can all kind of hide in the woodwork. A governor's out there all by himself. And so we have to make sure that the people are persistent, they're vocal, that, as Reagan said, you help them see the light or you make them feel the heat. We got to make sure that our governors both see the light and feel the heat from the people every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, unless we want to simply submit and not have liberty and not have control of our property and let Washington continue to say, hey, we'll dole out PILT if you agree to give $40 billion a year in food stamps. We'll give you these payment in lieu of taxes that are only pennies on the dollar of the taxable value, and we'll continue to hold that over you and make your members of Congress have to make those terrible choices. We can continue down that road and subject our children to that and subject our children to not having economic self-reliance. Or we can stand up and we tell our governors and we tell our local and our state and our national representatives, doggone it, property is liberty. And liberty cannot exist, and life has no real meaning without the right and control of property. So get busy on our fundamental principles. We need to make that statement every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year.
Ken Ivory, the American Lands Council, keep up the great work. Thank you for making time today.
Hey, Kevin, my pleasure. Keep getting the word out. Get people to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Sign the petition. Tell all your friends.
Have a good day, Ken.
Thanks.
All right, our great friend Ken Ivory. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Today's the big debut of the largest Republican majority in the House since the Great Depression.
Guess who just got back today?
My message to Republicans is join us. Get on board.
The administration ought to get their act together.
We need new leadership. We need an opposition party.
The priority is to repeal this health care law. It's bad for patients, bad for the providers, and terrible for taxpayers.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to Rachel Sutherland of Fox News Radio, who, again, is getting ready to cover the drama that we call Congress. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, high drama at high noon. That's when the 114th Congress convenes, and it's snowing here in Washington. We have about a fourth of an inch, so that means mass chaos on another scale.
Well, I guess the big drama is to coup or not to coup.
Well, they are looking to overthrow. I shouldn't just say they, should I? It's some of these hardline conservatives, Tea Partier types, would like to take House Speaker John Boehner's gavel away. We have Texas Republican Louie Gohmert. He'd really like to be called House Speaker. But here's the deal on that. I think the last head count that I heard that they had is about 13 people on board. Yesterday, they were calling themselves the Gang of Nine. But they need 29 votes to be able to do that. I just saw one of them interviewed, and he was saying that they're still trying to drum up the support to do this. But it's not likely. Speaker Boehner did face a challenge in the last election cycle for House Speaker, and he was able to survive that.
Yeah, it seems kind of absurd that folks would try this again, and yet you have, people in the media urging people to challenge Boehner. You just wonder. And Rachel, you work within the halls of Congress. You're listening to these folks going back and forth. What type of impact a challenge on the speaker would have as far as unity within the GOP?
Well, it does set a tone for sure. Yeah. In this new Congress coming in. This is the first time that both chambers have been in control of the GOP in some 8 years, I believe. And so it does set a tone that they're coming in already with these divisions that we've seen before. But as far as the day-to-day goings on, doesn't really have that much of an impact if House Speaker John Boehner remains in place. He doesn't seem fazed by anything like this with people being against him. If you watch his news conferences, he's kind of just the honey badger of House speakers. He just doesn't care, and he'll say what he's got to say, turn on his heel, and leave, and that's just all there is to it.
What do you make of the new Congress? You've had some people in the media say that now the Republicans have to pass legislation. The president's saying he might veto Keystone. I guess that's the big item on the agenda.
It is. is. That's first up after all the leadership election type stuff and the swearing in is the Keystone XL pipeline, which, yeah, the White House has been tap dancing around that one for some time. They're not making it clear whether or not the president would veto that. Josh Earnest yesterday, the spokesman, was saying that the president would like to see legislation that comes out of this new Congress. At the same time, some might say, well, this is not a new project. This languished in the Senate for 6 years. It can't be that different. But even some Democrats within the party have been kind of getting irritated with the White House and their refusal to come down on one side or the other on this project.
What about immigration? And I guess, do we have to worry about the continuing resolution and other things going on?
Well, kind of. The Cromnibus that was passed, it funds Homeland Security through next month. The rest of the government is funded through September. So it sets up the argument and the stage for a fight over immigration and the president's use of executive actions to shield millions of illegal immigrants from deportation. What Republicans are threatening to do is say, okay, you want to do that? Well, we'll just defund Homeland Security. Homeland Security has a lot more to do than just oversee immigration.
Right.
So it's going to be quite a battle set up.
Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio here with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. One thing that your colleague Chris Wallace pointed out to one of the senators, actually two Republicans over the weekend, was the idea of perhaps floating a 12-cent over two-year increase in the federal fuel tax. And no matter what gas prices are, you don't want to pay more for gas taxes when it comes to gasoline, but I guess the transportation budget is due.
Oh, it is. You know, they just funded that, a short-term fix for the transportation budget. So, yeah, I did see that briefly, Chris Wallace talking about that, and I thought at the time it caught my ear because I thought, well, nobody wants to pay more on gas prices, and we've all been enjoying lower gas prices across the country. But, yeah, that transportation bill is certainly something that will come up. But right now it's all about the Keystone Pipeline. It'll move on to immigration and other priorities, and certainly this new Congress will want to tackle Obamacare in some shape or form.
Finally, Rachel, what's it like to work in Congress? I mean, we look at these guys as, you know, images on television or voices on the radio, but you see them as people. Anything that you can glean from it to share with us here at 580KIDO, the personal, you know, like the insight you gave with Boehner, he just comes in, talks, and leaves. Anything else?
Well, you know, these men and women, they're just people, but they are interesting to watch, and certainly having a front row seat is exciting and fun. I will say, you know, having shaken the hands of I don't know how many politicians in my life, and a lot of times as they're running, you can tell a lot about them, and most of the time they're just as they appear on television because they're trying to be this persona. But when it comes down to it, we're all just folks.
Yeah, it's an interesting world they live in. On one hand, they're in Washington. Then on the other hand, they have to come back to their states. And you know, the dichotomy, especially in the West where they have to travel so much, is just amazing. But at any rate, Rachel, I could go on and meander here. But we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Rachel Sutherland joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. And if you get a chance... couple things on my little Facebook. I just posted something concerning Oklahoma's attempt to limit DUIs. And essentially what they're doing is they're going to look at a bill that would ban alcohol purchases for drivers convicted of DUIs. And the question that I ask, and I'll ask it to you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is should we take a look at that here considering the enormity, the repeat offenders that we have when it comes to DUI convictions and charges. Basically what you have, a state lawmaker is proposing legislation. Now, this is Oklahoma, not Idaho, that would make it more difficult for drivers facing DUI charges to buy alcohol. Now, the bill would ask the state to develop a system that would block people arrested for drunk driving from purchasing alcohol during a time period to be determined by a judge. Is that really going to stop the drinking and the driving? Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and here comes prohibition again.
Prohibition now, prohibition forever.
Well, no, they'll figure a way to work around that. They'll figure a way to buy alcohol. But, you know, what I'm afraid of, Kevin, is that we're going to have a repeat of when the Republicans had control of the House and the Senate before. Absolutely nothing will get done. Because they're always afraid of offending somebody and always afraid of taking the hard line and doing the things that are really going to improve our country.
Well, how does that translate to the state of Idaho, Patriot Ray?
As far as what Congress is doing?
Our new legislature. Do you have any confidence in them?
Not a lot, because they've done the same thing. Seems like they chopped out because they're afraid something's going to come backlash at them. You know, they weren't designed to be permanent positions. You weren't designed to be always there. It was designed to be to serve the public that you're supposed to serve. And it's designed that we could have representation and not be controlled by an elite group, which seems to be what they want to do. They want to be the elitists, and they want to be the ones that tell us what to do instead of following what's intended by our founding fathers, which is they're supposed to follow what the people want and take care of that, not do what they want because they want to continue doing the job they have. So we got Boehner there. He should go. He should voluntarily go, which is not going to happen. He should be taken out, which I don't believe is going to happen because they're all afraid of the little backdoor deals
that
they would lose.
But really, we start talking about taking them out, and I pose this question to begin with. I mean, hasn't the country become more liberal based on the fact that we had these movements and everything else and really didn't pan out? You have more moderate, more progressive politicians now in both parties.
You become more liberal because people like the handouts that these politicians keep promising them. Look how Obama got elected twice because of the promises he made, which he has not fulfilled to begin with, and he has not taken care of the country. I mean, he complained about the deficit in the country when Bush was around and he was a senator, and then he gets out there and he doubles it. So, you know, he ought to look at his own words and then look at the people and say, I'm not serving you. I should resign myself. But Congress won't take him out. They're all afraid they're going to get the backlash of being prejudiced. Instead of serving this country like they should, everybody's concerned about their own little pocketbook. And we're all concerned about that. But, you know, I'd give up everything to have this country stay free and stay alive instead of what we're doing to ourselves. We are making a slave class people, and someday they're going to call in their markers. But, Kevin, you stay fired up. We're glad to have you back. It's been a long couple of weeks.
Patriot Ray, thank you very much. God bless.
Take care. You bet. God bless you.
Our great friend, Patriot Ray. Time for traffic at 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:54, Kevin Miller in the morning. We go to Tea Party Bob.
So, Kevin, how are you this morning? You're doing a wonderful job. Great show.
In a foggy Treasure Valley. Good morning, sir.
Well, everybody's a little foggy at this time of the morning. just to touch base on this prohibiting drunk drivers from buying alcohol, this is probably one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard of in a long time. You know, why does government have the need to be the policeman for drunk drivers by keeping people from purchasing alcohol? It's like telling us that if we take all the guns away, we're going to stop crime. Well, we know that doesn't work, so why would this be any different?
That's a good point. Now, let me hit you with the other. Now, if they wanted to ban cheeseburgers, I'd be upset. But because I'm a teetotaler, it really doesn't impact me. I would say you take a look at just our local area. How many people have been arrested, like 7, 8? I mean, we've had people arrested 13 times still driving without licenses in our area. Now, granted, would they find a way to get alcohol? I guess you, and if they were drunk and they got arrested again, you could add another charge on to that. Who knows if it's constitutional, but I admire the effort.
Well, it's not just the effort. I think if you've got somebody who's been arrested 5, 6, and 7 times for drunk driving, it's time to throw them in jail for a couple of years.
I'm with you, but yet we still have that problem here in the Treasure Valley, where you have people that get convicted multiple times that shouldn't be driving that they are driving.
Well, then the laws aren't tough enough in terms of making them more responsible, or maybe they just aren't getting the right treatment, you know, and that's a problem also. A lot of these people do need treatment, and this is a sickness, this is a drug, as marijuana is, as heroin is. It's a drug, and it's an addiction. And unless you can find a way to get these people help, they're never going to change their ways. And punishing them, even by putting them in jail, is only going to get them out of your hair for a couple of years. They're going to come back and be in the same problem problems they were before.
Well, there's another type of punishment.
That is?
That would be corporal punishment for DUI offenders publicly.
Are we going to spank them publicly?
Good spank always helps everybody.
I love you, Kevin.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Have a great day, my friend. Bye.
Bye-bye. Our great friend, Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot. By the way, 600 likes on the Facebook for them already. Congratulations. 8:57, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. You know, it's funny. You can tell the tide is turning in Washington just by how comedians are treating the president. We'll share that with you in a minute. Time for traffic at 580.
Maybe you should stay on vacation the whole time. The Obamas rented a house in Honolulu where the president was allegedly born. They had to go because they're spraying the White House for termites right now. But while they were there, the president took his daughters, Sasha and Malia, to visit Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, which makes him the coolest dad of 1991, I think, right?
On Sunday, President Obama returned from his vacation in Hawaii to a new Congress now completely controlled by Republicans. Or as Republicans put it, aloha.
President Obama is going on a three-day live tour to preview his upcoming State of the Union speech. Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Obama rushes out on stage and shouts, "Are you ready for some stuff that's never going to happen?"
There we have it. Oh, oh, oh. When's O from Eagle going to be on there? Hey, it's Kevin Miller. Appreciate you listening. Be careful. Fog's still out there, as you know. So watch out for the nitwits. Because we're looking out for you. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.